It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can lay me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I'm born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's a new week, Monday, May 15th, 2023. Let's make sure that microphone's working there, Chief. Yeah, you're on.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Can you hear okay? There's a volume right there. Can you hear now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. And then we have, of course, Chief Troy Sterling in the house. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. With his four stars on the collar.
Yeah, they're heavy.
That's a total of eight stars there, Chief Palafis. Can I call you Chief Palafis or Chief P?
No, whatever you want, Paul. Good morning. It's good to
He's
see
so
you.
Humble.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too.
Yeah.
How was your Mother's Days?
For me, it was great.
Yeah?
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
You pampered the wife?
Yeah. Breakfast, dinner, and then obviously gifts. So
nice.
How about you, Chief Troy?
You know, we took a trip to San Clemente, so we missed the beach a little bit, so it was time to get down there, and so that was a perfect weekend for that. So.
There's a crowd of people back in the 70s. They used to call it San Clemency.
San Clemency.
Yeah, because that's where Nixon holed up after he left the White House. So, and then he got the pardon from President Ford. But I digress. Anyway, welcome to the show. No Brother Jim today. Brother Jim's out on personal business. So we can make fun of him all we want, he said. When he sent me the email, I go, you know that leaves you wide open to shenanigans, right? He goes, yeah, I would expect nothing less from the three of you. So there you go. All right.
We miss you, Jim.
Yeah, well, one of us does. All right. So let's see. Diamondbacks coming off a 3-4 against the Giants. They play tonight, 6 o'clock pregame over on the sports station, KNTRSports.com, if you want the entire schedule. And I'm trying to find out from the mothership if we have tickets for the Memorial Day series against the Boston Red Sox. That would be amazing. Those tickets should go fast. So, anyway, the D-backs play the A's tonight, and they're in Oakland. Oakland, actually, the worst team in baseball right now. Man. 9 wins on the season. That's it. They're at the bottom of the American League West. So, D-backs hopefully will do well and steal some from the A's this week. If you haven't heard yet, sports physical vouchers are available from the Havasu Community Health Foundation. Give them a call, 453-8190. You must make an appointment at Havasu Primary Care and Pediatrics and present the voucher at the time of the appointment. So they're limited to 40 vouchers. And again, the vouchers are at Havasu Community Health Foundation in the Shambles Village from 8:30 to noon while supplies last. That'll allow you to get a free sports physical for your child, whether they're playing Little League or football, whatever they need that sports physical for, maybe for high school too. I'm not sure about that, but that's for families, I believe, that qualify. So, again, you're going to want to call the Havasu Community Health Foundation. So how's everything going in your guys' world, in first responders land? I just talked to you.
I know he did. It's been busy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what about, okay, I noticed the press release that came out Chief Troy, about the electric vehicles, which are growing in popularity.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. I didn't realize this was an issue in Lake Havasu City, but apparently your patrolmen are out and about. It's more of an education campaign, though, now, right?
That was really the purpose behind this, is we start getting a lot more complaints of the electric type of vehicles that are around. So figured best case here, let's just throw out some material and try to educate everybody first. Obviously, our purpose here is to ensure a safe and secure community. So, you know, we try to do our part in education. And so as opposed to the enforcement aspect, which there's, you know, endless number of rules involving these type of vehicles, the way from regular skateboards all the way through the new style electric motorcycles that are out there. And so that's what really this was about, is try to educate a little bit. And so put something together. Since that press release went out, we've had a lot of questions that have popped up. I think people think that we've just incorporated some new laws to go along with these, and we have not. It's everything that's been on the books to date. It was more of just pushing that information out and where people can gather those resources to educate themselves. And so I have a few things that I put down, and maybe you have some specific questions that we can go over.
Yeah, so I've seen the electric scooters, like it's like a Razor scooter with a little motor.
Right.
But then the press release mentioned electric motorcycles, and I thought, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I know somebody who owns two electric bicycles. So, I mean, I guess what we're trying to say is this isn't Thailand or Mexico City. You can't just ride them anywhere, right?
Right, exactly. And really what stemmed in the common electric bike, electric motorcycle that's out there is known as the Suron. A lot of people relate to that. Essentially, Arizona law requires anything above 750 watts. Can be considered a vehicle, electric vehicle,
okay.
Right? And so these Surons are coming out of the box from the manufacturer at 3,000 or above,
Is
well above what that requirement is. And once you cross over that threshold, now you're required to actually register that as an electric vehicle, just like you would an electric car. And so that's where we're getting ourselves into the educational component, because you're seeing a lot more kids riding around on these things. And those things go fast. Okay, first of all. And so now you're starting to see kids riding them to school. They're doing crazy things on them in the streets. And so it's not the typical bicycle anymore. We crossed over into a whole nother realm. And so we felt we need to do our part and really put some information out.
So if you're talking about a registered vehicle with a license plate?
Yep.
Like a little motorcycle plate?
Correct.
Does that mean they have to have a license too?
Exactly right.
So they have to be 16 years old to ride them.
Exactly right.
I'll be darned. Wow. Did you learn something today, Chief?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have quads, you know, for the kiddos and stuff.
Right.
But we're not, you know, on the road. So, I mean,
exactly.
It makes sense.
Yep. And you can, a lot of parents will buy those for their kids for, you know, just like an off-road motorcycle, right? Same rules apply to that. You know, you'd have the off-road permits and those type of things. But when they're now used on the roadways, the parents need to be aware too, because they're allowing the children, in other words, to essentially ride a electric vehicle on the roadway and not having the proper, you know, registration and insurance.
A registered electric vehicle.
Exactly.
I had no idea. That brings up so many questions now. I mean, are we looking at a period of education and then citations? Is that what you're thinking?
That's typically what we try to do anyway. You know, these aren't the violations that we're going around seeking. It's because it's brought to our attention, you know, based on complaint driven, and typically you'll start seeing that in different areas, sometimes maybe even in the parks. So we just need to be cautious that we're, number one, the basic rule is just treat it as you are a vehicle, okay? No matter what you're on, what device you're on, follow the rules of the road, you know, stop at stop signs, you know, make sure you're, watching out for pedestrians, those type of things. And, you know, you're not supposed to go over the speed limit on those devices either. So you're starting to see with technology today, you're seeing devices that people are now modifying them to what they're coming out of the box, and they're going well above what the speed limit would allow as it is.
Well, when I was a kid, the old rule for bicycles, and these are electric bicycles, some of these vehicles we're talking about,
right,
was you had to walk it across the crosswalk. Isn't that still the rule?
I don't know if I don't I haven't seen a written rule on that. I think it's good practice to do so. You're seeing more, right? The purpose behind it is the safe aspect of it. So at least when you're crossing in a crosswalk, you're supposed to be seen. Plus, it gives opportunity for, you know, drivers to be able to recognize, you know, if there's somebody in the crosswalk versus just pulling out. And so it really comes down to just that safety component.
Yeah, and speaking of safety, one of the biggest things I teach when I teach someone to drive, and I've had that opportunity several times, is blind spots.
Yes.
And those are especially motorcycles, bicycles, your scooters and that. If you're not on the sidewalk, then you're part of someone's blind spot eventually. Right?
Yep.
So what happens when they get hit, Chief Pete? These electric vehicles, are they tougher to clean up? Are they, if they catch fire, is that a tough situation? I've heard that some of these burn pretty hot, hotter than a normal vehicle.
They do. And it takes copious amounts of water to put them out. And obviously environmental hazards we have because of the batteries.
Right.
Knock on wood, we haven't seen that incidents occur around here too much. But it just brings a different dynamic to what we need to do to make sure our firefighters are safe and making sure that they're safe. I mean, think about traveling, you know, even at 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's a significant impact when you hit something.
Right.
Because you're stopping suddenly.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. There was a recent electric vehicle fire in the Phoenix area that was covered on one of my news feeds. And the fire chief there, I think it was Mesa, possibly Chandler, was saying that those fire temperatures are well over 2,500 degrees.
Yeah, and it takes a lot more water to extinguish just the normal, you know, regular car fire.
Right.
So
what kind of violations are we talking about right now? Riding a vehicle on a sidewalk when they're not supposed to?
Yeah, there's that aspect of it. Just not obeying traffic laws in general would be a good start, you know, and that goes for any, even a bicyclist, right? You're supposed to obey the rules of the road just like a vehicle does. So that does require you to, you know, not surpass the speed limit.
Sure.
You need to stop at stop signs. You need to do all of those things that a vehicle would do. You need to have the appropriate lighting equipment if you're going to be, you know, after dark, those type of things. So I think it's just bringing the simplistic side of it in, just, you know, follow the rules of the road, and that you're going to go a long ways with that.
So 750 watt is the
cutoff. That cutoff, yes.
And anything over that should be licensed.
Yep.
DMV knows this as well?
Well, so I had a question that came in last week, and we need to find out the validity of this, but somebody said they went to register their Suron based on, I think, our press release,
uh-huh,
and were told that they would not. So I have somebody looking into that right now just to confirm that, but that's based on, you know, Arizona Revised Statutes Title 28.
Yeah.
So that's the state law.
Wow.
Those are we're going to do some more follow-up press releases because of the questions that have come in. You know, like I said, our goal is just to educate right now. So pushing out more information is going to be the key.
I don't know if you remember this, Chief, but when those mini trucks got really popular, you remember that? The really small mini trucks, the two-passenger, it's like a utility truck. You see them at Catalina Island quite a bit. And that question came up, and the state actually stepped in and said, okay, we're going to have to offer registration and some sort of regulation on these. So, because they did get so popular. But, you were just on the show last week, Chief Pete, and we were talking about the career technical education program and that. You want to give a recap on that?
Yeah, sure. So the last
with the school district.
Yeah, so what we did is we partnered up with the school district to start a fire service career technical education program for the kids to have the opportunity to get introduced to the fire service, the emergency medical services. And the fire department is the one that is actually partnering and teaching the curriculum to the students during their normal academic semester. So we have two semesters. Obviously the first semester that starts in August and then January. Mm-hmm. And we have a basic program and then an advanced program. And this is open up to individuals that is interested in searching a career in the fire service and emergency medical services. They go through an application process. They talk to other counselors. They interview with our staff to give them experience of expressing why are they interested in this. It kind of help them with almost like job interview skills too. And so they go to our class during normal school. It's usually about 8 to 10, so we have two periods. And we give them the academic aspect of an intro to the fire service, about the history, about it, the difference between the engines and trucks and what we actually do. And then we start incorporating practical aspects of how to throw a ladder, what our gear, what our self-contained breathing apparatus does for them. And it gives them a great foundation if they want to pursue further to then, okay, I want to go to the next step and I can enroll into MCC's Fire Academy. And there's a process there. So, again, we're providing a roadmap for them if they're interested in a career in the fire and emergency medical career. And it's been a great partnership. We just signed another four-year commitment with the high school, and it's been a great partnership to give this opportunity for the kids. And I hope to see the payoff in the next couple of years because there is a process of education being a firefighter paramedic that spans, you know, I mean, it could vary just depending on the classes, you know, almost 3 years to get educated, to get online, to be a full firefighter paramedic. And we're trying to homegrown our own. We want to keep individuals here, give them the opportunity to work for the city. And the best part is having an individual that's bought into the community, wants to stay here and give back to the community. And,
right.
I mean, public safety is one of the best opportunities to do that. And the city and has more to offer to that, too, in the water department, public works, park and recs. But this is just pertaining to us because we see the need in the next basically 5 years. I have retirements. And then you're going to see that shift of 12 to 13 people that are going to have to retire.
Wow.
So we need a plan ahead. Yeah, it
sure.
is. And we've seen turnover since I've been here over the last 3 years. And then it was a great benefit that we did get the SAFER grant. We have 11 new individuals here. You know, we're training them and investing in the employees to go to medic school, give them the education they need. Do we have the risk that they might leave? Sure, we do. But the thing is, at least, you know, we're investing in them. And I think our big investment is just in the community itself and with our high school program and working with MCC also, community college, because they're going to help us.
There's always that chance they're going to leave, but there's always that chance they could come back, too.
That's true.
So, but you've had a pretty good success rate with testing.
Yes, we have. So we had our first testing. It's a technical assessment where the individuals, 13 students that completed the basic and advanced, had a written test that was given by the state. And all of our 13 students scored a 75% or higher in the program. So all of them passed. So that helps out with funding the program success, saying, hey, they're doing great things in Havasu. You could see that they're 100% compliant with teaching the material, right. And the kids are getting something out of it, so which is a great benefit. And I'm so proud of the students that are graduating for the program right now. So we just got to keep that up, and it's great for us.
Wow, 13 for 13.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
No, not
it's like
at all.
It's like the Tampa Bay Rays at the start of the season. All right. We'll come back and we'll talk to Chief Troy about possibly the same thing happening with the police department. You never know. I don't know. He's giving me that look like, we'll see. So because Chief Troy likes country, right?
I do.
That's his choice?
Yep.
And we'll get to your choice in a moment, too.
I appreciate
Chief
it.
Pete, no problem. We're going to take a short break. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Speak Out. Again, our guests are Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
Well, it fogged up the windows in my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready.
Her daddy says he ain't worth a lick. When it comes to brains, he got the short end of the stick. But Katie's young and man, she just don't care. She'd follow Tommy anywhere. She's in love with the boy.
All right, a little Trisha Yearwood. Actually, I love that song. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good song. And we were talking about country music with Chief Pete off the air. That's kind of a stretch, right?
There's some things that you don't know about.
A little bit. Are you a closet country listener? A little bit? A
little bit.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology at lesolson.com/Kingman. And our newest sponsor, The Chair. Havasu style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. And I know that you got the shiny shoes on again, Chief Pete. Do you shine your flip flops up like that too?
No, I don't. I just leave them dull.
Or do you even wear flip flops?
I do wear flip flops.
I can't do the thing between my toes.
Yeah,
I have to do sandals. Yeah, I don't like the. I just don't like the thing between my toes on flip flops. It just bugs the you know what out of me. So, anyway, we do stream live at KNTRTalk.com, and our show archives are there as well. And on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. In fact, if you go to our website right now, there's a brand new show. We talked about it on Friday's show with Ron Gould and Roger Galloway called in. And it's called To Your Health. And it's Mojave County Public Health Director Chad Kingsley and Roger Galloway for a half hour on our website. There's an archive there right on the homepage. And I think the county's putting out a press release on that show sometime today, which will drive a lot of people to our website to listen to it. So anyway, check that out. It'll be the second and fourth Saturdays of the month at 12:30 following Focus on Your Health, the KRMC show. So two half-hour shows right in a row about health and better health in the tri-state area. So we were talking about the CTE program with between the fire department and the Lake Havasu Unified School District. But has the police department thought of doing a similar program like that?
We've talked about trying to come up with something similar to that. The one big discrepancy between us and the fire department is you have to be 21 years old to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. So there's that gap between graduating high school and when you can go to the police academy. So we lose some time in there. So to fill that gap to some extent, we have our cadet program, formerly known as the Explorer program. And so you can be between the ages of 14 and 21, you can be in this cadet program that essentially you learn, you know, police officer tactics and those type of things, and hopefully, in essence, to learn everything about the department and then hopefully keep you. The downside is that's far and few between that we are able to keep for that long period of time because people need to fill that gap between, 18 and 21.
But can't they work as an 18-year-old in the jail?
And that's where we've had success is, typically we'll have a part-time position in the jail, sometimes even a full-time. That's a good stepping stone. I'd love to get them into the department and, provides them a way to really get to know everything about the culture internally and then hopefully, you know, they take that next step
right.
when the time comes. We've had that in animal control as well.
Oh.
But again, you know, as far as the numbers, we have a good number of youth that take part in the cadet program. It's just those that stick around to become part of law enforcement is kind of minimal.
What about a 911 dispatcher? Would it be, I mean, could you start as an 18-year-old and then make a leap into the law enforcement area? What is there that connection?
There is. And yeah, they don't want to leave public safety dispatching out because, yeah, you can jump in there at 18 as well. That's just one of those more difficult jobs. And so there's a little bit more testing that goes into that aspect of it. And I'll be the first one to admit our public safety dispatchers have a tough job.
Is it a tougher job for a young person, you think?
I think so. That's my personal opinion. Uh-huh. But everybody's different, right? Everybody has different skill sets. So it's a matter of testing out those skill sets to see if you have that minimum, you know, skill set that will help you come in and deal with the multitasking that goes on in that center. So
seems like it would be a really good way to get somebody cross-trained on both ends of the spectrum, right?
We used to be able to do that,
making
yes.
that call and then calling out that call.
Yeah. We've had a few that have started in dispatch and then ended up going to being a police officer. But you know, sometimes that's not everybody's calling. So they want right. to be part of public safety, but they just don't want to, they don't want to be out there on the road.
Right.
So that's okay. We need everybody.
It's so interesting, the connection there though.
Right.
It's almost like going from security to surveillance or from one to the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause I've worked on one end, but I've never done the security end.
Right.
So anyway, what about, there's a lot of talk now in the community, you know, you're talking about fentanyl being out there on the
yeah.
streets and that. And now a new drug, or new to us anyway, when it comes to mixing on the street, xylazine?
Xylazine, yes.
What in the heck's going on out there?
So it's kind of interesting. So we always get the Arizona HIDA announcements. And was it last week, the week before, they said xylazine is now the emerging threat in America. It's one of those that, as typical, starts on the East Coast and starts to migrate mm-hmm. west, and so that's what we're starting to see now. Xylazine essentially is used for veterinary purposes. It's a tranquilizer. Apparently, it also enhances the effects of fentanyl and opioids.
Wow.
And the unfortunate part is that Narcan that we carry in our cars to help revive people that maybe are having a fentanyl overdose, it does not reverse the effects of xylazine. So there's that scary aspect that goes along with that. Now in Arizona, it's starting to appear. It's been in 9 deaths so far. It's been at least a testing component from the medical examiner's office.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how it's contributed to any of the deaths, we don't know yet, but it's coming this way. And what's kind of interesting is, I was hearing something last week that, you know, a lot of people tend to go down to Mexico and buy, you know, drugs legally down there, prescription drugs. They're actually finding in some of the legal prescription drugs down in Mexico that being laced with fentanyl as well. So that's a scary thing for those that even, you know, try to do it the legal way, and it's having those type of effects.
Yeah, especially seniors. I don't know if you know this, Chief Pete, but a lot of seniors, they'll make a trip to Algodones, where there's a lot of pharmacies there. They can get their pharmaceuticals filled or their prescriptions filled a lot cheaper for the pharmaceuticals that they need. And now we're finding out xylazine's in them or fentanyl?
Yep.
Oh, man. That's not a good scene. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a short break. It just amazes me because animal tranquilizers, the first thing I think of is PCP.
Right.
Back in the day.
Right.
Which was a reverse effect on humans. Didn't exactly act like a tranquilizer with humans. It made them think they were, you know, one of the X-Men, right? All right.
And we're going to keep pushing out information to the public. And I just ask that everyone do their due diligence and do some research on it.
Right.
Because it is scary.
It is very scary. All right, we're going to take a short break. Go out with some Journey by request. I'm sure there's other bands you like too, though, right? From the 80s?
Yeah, there is.
Maybe?
But this is my favorite.
That's the go-to.
It is.
All right. The Journey Channel.
Yes.
On SiriusXM. I don't even know if they have one, but they probably should.
Spotify.
On that, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's my go-to. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafa. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Great White. Yeah, we don't have a pyrotechnics person.
Yeah, good.
But, yeah. Good to know, though, that you're watching my back.
I am.
Thanks, Chief Pete. All right. Speak up. I was just showing him a picture from the Black Cat Bar from Saturday night. But it is an outdoor stage.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool when you see Black Cat X at the Black Cat Bar. So.
That's awesome.
Anyway. And we didn't name the band after the bar or vice versa. So. Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006, also featuring self-service doggy washes and by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And don't forget to shop local, because small business is kind of a big deal, right? Not sure if you guys have heard about this, but the third annual ceremony for the burial of the synthetic flags. You have heard of this.
Oh, no, I this is the first time I heard, right?
Well, it's a burning event. So I wanted
a burial.
To make, oh, it's a burial.
Not
I thought
burning.
It, I thought it was burning. A burning.
No.
At one time it was.
Yeah, burial.
Now it's a burial because of the chemicals that are released into the air.
Yes.
Gotcha. They're trying to be all environmentally correct, right?
Yes.
Green friendly. All right, so this is the burial of synthetic flags on May 20th, 9 a.m., 2130 Price Drive, across from Blonzy's Steakhouse. It's the third annual flag ceremony for the burial of synthetic flags. And that is from the Veterans Workforce Specialist, Todd Baldwin, friend of Speak Out. So there you have it. And, of course, this week, are you going up for the Route 66 street drags?
No.
No? I figured Chief Troy might be in it driving. They were talking about a challenge race between Kingman Police Department and DPS.
I didn't want to make them feel bad. You know?
They should use the electric vehicles for the drag race. I hear the 0 to 60 on those is pretty insane.
They only get too far.
Yeah, right. They just don't. Then they don't make enough noise either. But all that starts on Friday at noon to 9 p.m. Friday, Saturday 9 to 10, and Sunday 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. between mile marker 55 and 56 on Route 66 in Kingman, Arizona. Starts at the Kingman Police Department, ends at DPS. That's pretty wild. And it's legal street drag racing in the meantime. So there you go. So let's talk about Memorial Day in the Channel, Chief Troy.
Okay.
And what kind of enhanced patrols do you have for that, both on the water and off the water?
We fully staff for the holiday weekends. We have a handful of people that work on each side of the channel, the east and west banks, as well as a couple extra boats that are scattered throughout the day. And so, yeah, we're out there in force. And, you know, part of our main focus is to really, again, going back to the education aspect, we try to start out the weekend, especially on Fridays, educate people when it comes to, you know, what to do, not do type of things. And really that just officer presence really deters, hopefully, bad things from happening. But, of course, unfortunately, sometimes it does, and we're there to take care of business.
Awesome. What about the surveillance methods out? Didn't you used to have a trailer or something out there for and some cameras for surveillance?
Yeah, we at one time we used our command post trailer that has a nice camera that goes up several feet in the air and used that as surveillance. But there's some decent cameras down in the channel now that are actually monitored by dispatch, and so on occasion dispatch may actually see something on the cameras and let the supervisor know. But for the most part, just good old-fashioned, you know, walking and riding around the channel area, just regular observation mode.
No, interesting.
Yeah.
What are some of the more common crimes down there in the channel, like especially around holiday weekends?
Yeah, I mean, obviously from the park aspect, you know, the glass bottles, really try to eliminate that because we know how those break easily and then cause injury to people. You know, the underage drinking, that's, you know, on occasion, that's a big thing. The starting up of the engine, letting your engine run, we try to cut back on that. You know, as you know, several years ago, we put an ordinance in place to assist us in that enforcement action. And then, of course, I think you're going to allude to it, but, you know, in the evening times, dealing with the no mooring in the channel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, explain what that means, the no mooring in the channel. No securing your boat to the shore?
Exactly. There's only, in the Bridgewater Channel, there's only one area that's grandfathered in, and that's the condominiums, and I forget the name of them, top of my head.
Heat?
No. It's across from the Heat.
Oh, okay.
No, it's across from, I'll think of it in a
it's
minute.
It's on the island side, though.
Yeah, it's the ones that have been there for a long time. And
okay.
So that's the only area. They're a little, it's a small beach that is grandfathered in, but the rest of the channel is no mooring between 11 a.m. and 5 a.m. or 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. And so, especially on the holiday weekends, it's, you know, people don't want to remove their boats you know, from the channel and for the good parking spots. And of course, we're out there sighting each of the boats that are there.
Yeah, it's not like a campground where you can just, you know, leave $12 in an envelope and then you can keep your boat there, you know, all day, all night. It doesn't work that way. It's not $12 a day or anything like that. So we definitely have an ordinance in place between 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. and 5 a.m.
Correct. Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
You know, I have to tell you this story because I was just shaking my head the whole time. I parked my car at a local store. And I got out of the car, and I couldn't help but see on the seat of the car next to me was a bright-colored purse. On the seat, nobody – I thought, wow, is the car running? Is somebody in there? Nope. Just sitting right there out in the open. What a trusting person.
Right.
Luckily, you know, I'm one of those people that's not going to break your window to break into your – you know, get your grab your purse. But I couldn't believe I'm still seeing that in this day and age.
We do have a lot of that still, and you know that's what's called opportunity. You know, people are allowing that opportunity to have something stolen, and we still see that. And you know, a lot of people, you know, still have that small town mentality, and so they leave their car doors unlocked. They still leave the keys in them. You know, unfortunately, we have those that like to go out and car shop. You know, they'll go out and check the doors on your cars, and they'll get in there and steal the things that are readily available. And so, you know, it's you know, we have to eliminate the opportunity, right? And so that's everybody's part.
Yeah, absolutely. And then with a holiday weekend coming up like that,
yes,
you might not be as fortunate to have your purse sitting there on the front seat of your car,
right,
and not get a window broken.
Well, have you seen those videos before, even, you know, filling up, you know, at a gas station, right? And you know how most people, you leave your car doors unlocked. Well, sometimes people leave their valuables on the seat next to them. Well, while they're out of the car, somebody will come up from the opposite side and open the door, right? That's, I mean, I haven't seen that here.
Right.
I hope we don't have that here. But again, it just goes back to you need to pay attention. You need to be vigilant.
Interesting. I was just getting ready to give out the phone number. It's 854-KNTR, 854-5687. Of course, now you have to dial the area code 928. And that's if you want to talk to Chief Pete or Chief Troy. And we do have a caller on the line.
If you are the business owner.
And I guess we don't. We have a spam call coming into the Speak Out.
That was nice.
The Speak Out room with no sink, or kitchen with no sink. That's it. All right. So what about for the fire department? Do you go on increased readiness of any sort during the holiday weekend?
Yes. We actually have two squads that are on the island, and then the inland side too, that is just responsible for any medical or any incident on either side. So just due to the increase of population and the crowds, we just want to make sure that we have adequate safety and staffing for that. And then we also have our fireboat that is in service during that weekend, and they'll be out Thompson Bay, and they stroll around for any calls that require service with other agencies to assist them with any medical service needs.
Right.
And it was Kingview.
Kingview, there you go.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Well,
across
no,
from Kingview.
Do you have
across.
An assistant that texted that to
no,
you?
No. I just didn't want to interrupt. I was just thinking because of that's really one of the kind of public beaches for Havasu. So
wow, look at the big brain on Chief
Pete.
No.
It was just because we when we do our pre plans and we have our action plans for our big holiday weekends, just predicting our population increases, you know, 20,000 to 30,000 possibly on those weekends. So that's a distinct, just looking at, you know, what is our occupancy, you know, especially with our hotels and stuff. So we have a good indicator of, you know, the potential busyness that we're going to have. And there are some times where it's nice and quiet, and then sometimes it gets really busy.
Sure. I had a press release come in from the Northern Arizona Fire District, a fire yesterday afternoon. It was somebody burning weeds, trash, and it spread to a structure.
Sure.
Do you see that problem possibly happening here without safety precautions and that? I mean, I know there's a prevalence of weeds this time of year especially.
So there is. That's a great question, Paul. But the thing is, we're way different than Northern District, where they're out in unincorporated Mojave County.
Okay.
Where they obviously we've seen a lot of rain this year. We've seen a lot of weeds come up, and they're always a hazard. It just depends on how you deal with that hazard. And individuals that want to burn their weeds, they can, but there are ordinances and rules and regulations to that. And it could be a problem. But here, since we're densely populated, and I wouldn't say we have maybe that the weeds that are out in the rural areas, it's still always a concern, but you just
right.
be smart about it. Have a hose or a spigot or basically a garden hose right there when you're doing it so it doesn't get out of control.
Well, sparks can travel quite a ways to desert landscaping and that sort of thing, correct?
Well, with wind, I mean,
yes.
that's probably one of our biggest problem is when someone's trying to do anything on a windy day is you can affect someone downstream.
So, is that something you have to get a permit for here in
so
the city?
There is for burning weeds, and there's our fire marshal. You can burn weeds with liquid propane, but it's only for weeds only. So it's not burning rubbish or construction material or anything, and there's a difference between recreational fires and what you're doing. So if it becomes a nuisance, we'll get called out. We'll obviously politely see what you're burning, if making sure that you have a garden hose there on site. So there's certain parameters that we do have because we do not want to affect our neighbors.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What about building proposals for new fire stations? Have we talked about that in the past?
So,
do you have a new station proposed right now?
So we do. It's Station 7 on Sloop the McCulloch, and that was identified in our study.
Where was that again?
Sloop the McCulloch.
Okay.
Kind of just right on the main drag, I will say one block south of Cherry Tree.
Oh, okay.
So and it's on a main fairway, so that station is going to assist in the southern area and in the foothills area for response. And that was identified in our study. And so far, tentatively, we have that on the books for this fiscal coming up and then our next fiscal to build Station 7, which is needed for that area.
Interesting. When was that study conducted?
That was, we actually did that last year, and we presented the findings in January to the council.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you missed that meeting, Paul.
I must have.
Yeah, so no, that was a very important meeting in January.
Nice.
So if you want to, actually, Paul, the study is actually on our website. You could find underneath the fire department's website, and we have it published for everybody to see.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
What about the police department? Are you finding that that's an area of concern up Cherry Tree, the growing area in the foothills there?
No, I mean, we have our beats, so we have officers stationed throughout the city. For us, as far as facility maintenance, that's also identified in this next year's budget for revamping our police facility because we're in need of some love. And so that's some grant funding that we received as well as some of the ARPA funds that were left over. So
that's I got to throw a flag on the play because you used an acronym. It's American Rescue Plan
there
Act.
You go.
But most people know what ARPA is now.
Yeah.
But you still have those people, especially here in the office, they get on me for that. So I had to throw a flag on the play.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Good flag, yes.
All right. So just to recap, those electric vehicles, folks, you're going to want to, maybe the more and more people that check with DMV about registrations, the more they'll get on the stick, too.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll be putting out some more information for the public. So, and if there's any questions, please don't hesitate to call us, and we'll answer your questions. Before I close,
yes,
Paul, today is National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and so I just wanted to throw that out, you know, paying tribute and honor our law enforcement officers that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so, to those and their families, just want to pay tribute to them.
I remember attending one in Bullhead when I actually saw you there.
Yes.
When I worked for MEC.
Nice.
And, Chief Troy was there. It wasn't Chief Troy, though. It was Lieutenant, I believe.
Might have been Lieutenant then.
Yeah. Might have been a captain. I don't remember.
It flies by. I don't know.
It was 5-6 years ago. So, all right. We're going to take our last break of the hour. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
As always, on the Dia de los Dos Jefes. See, I can do it without Jim.
You can.
I just use him as a crutch. Yeah, see, that kind of surprised you, huh?
Yeah, you did awesome, Paul.
All right, Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Everybody have a happy Memorial Day. Be safe.
Wow, thanks. I will.
Thanks.
I'll be here all weekend long. I was planning a trip, but no longer. So I'm just going to stay close to home.
Nice.
All right. You guys be safe as well.
All right, Paul.
All right.
Have a good day.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Coming up next, Sean Hannity. After news and a short break, it's Karate Man himself. And we'll find out what's going on in the world of Karate Man. Tomorrow's show, we'll have a trucking update with Scott Badekiefer, and we'll have the someone from the talking about the click-to-cancel rule from the FTC.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.